Welcome to the Founders Corner, the podcast where ambitious entrepreneurs and professionals come to learn the secret of success from founder AJ. Join AJ as he sits down with healthcare professionals to discuss ways of improving their marketing efforts. As an entrepreneur and the proud owner of several seven-figure web-based businesses, AJ has now dedicated himself to helping healthcare professionals in building their practices. If you'd like to contact AJ and become a guest on Founders Corner podcast, fill out the form on our website. I'm your host, Dwayne, and today's guest is Seth Carson, a career coach at Acquired Salary. With a background in pharmaceutical, medical device, and clinical trial industry, Seth specializes in guiding STEM professionals who enhance their career development and business skills, aiming to improve their career outlook in just a few weeks.
Seth, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, AJ?
Good. Where are you located, Seth?
I'm in Denver, Colorado.
Oh, you're in Denver. Okay, good. So tell me something about yourself, about your business. Again, the purpose is for our audience to be able to relate to you, right?
With any
issues that you have.
So I'm the owner at Acquired Salary, and from that standpoint, Acquired Salary is a minority partner with a few medical clinics, a optometry practice, Complete Eye Care. We celebrated our 25th year anniversary last year. And then I'm also associated with Dimensions Dry Eye and Aesthetics, which is another medical practice that focuses on medical aesthetics. And from that standpoint, the aesthetics practice was launched in 2021. But yeah, I'm excited to have a good conversation today.
Okay, good. Good. So I don't, it's so straightforward. I don't have any question about your business. I understand what you're doing. So when you're saying aesthetic practices, what exactly would you mean by that? What kind of aesthetics?
Yeah, so in terms of the aesthetic side of things, it's a unique combination correlated with the optometry practice. So we're in Colorado, and from that standpoint, dry eye is rampant among the state. So from that standpoint, we started the Dimensions Dry Eye and Aesthetics practice as it first started out with the more aesthetics-based dry eye treatments. So we focus on IPL. That's one of our biggest revenue generators just because the market that we're in. And then we're also moving into doing some injections like fillers as well as Botox. And that's where the practice is kind of focused right now.
Okay, good. All right. So this is very good. Let's dive down into your questions that you have for me.
Sounds good. Yeah. So from that standpoint, I'm curious, what do you think are the key components of an effective healthcare marketing strategy?
Sure. So when we are, and by the way, I would focus exclusively on the digital aspect of the marketing. Obviously, there is another component people do, direct mail or I've been there, done that, but we don't, now I that is not my focus. So I will be very exclusive about, going to, when you're talking about strategy, it's a digital, right? And the reason we start to do that is about 80% of the search for a medical healthcare provider literally starts with, on the internet. People searching, about their reasons, about the procedures, about the doctors and everything. So for you to be successful online, obviously you need to get found, which means that you have, when people are searching for your services, which means you have to have a very robust, online presence. The second thing that people will always do is when they find you before they call you now, about 80% of them will check your reviews, right? So I always say that you should have a very stellar online reviews. And the third, which is you have to have a system. And by the way, in order to get that stellar online review, you need to have a ongoing effort to keep on improving patient satisfaction. So I always say that the three keys to a very successful healthcare business is starting with, you need to have a robust online presence, you have to have an increasing a large number of patient satisfaction, satisfied patient, and then obviously the third is you have to have a very stellar, you know, online reputation. So those, I would say, are the three, you know, pillars that we call it, you know, for your healthcare success, the practice success.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And that's a, you know, really interesting stat that you bring up in terms of, I mean, it makes sense. Customers or patients are searching online. And so in order to get found, you have to be online, and having a good online presence with strong reviews is super important. And, you know, as of course a business scales, you're going to have to continue to ensure there's ongoing patient satisfaction.
Yeah, and the patient satisfaction, interestingly, component literally starts from the first time patient calls you, right? When they find you on the internet and they check your reviews, and then when they call your front desk about whatever question they have before they even come to to show up, the whole satisfaction, what I'm talking about, starts from there, right? So having a solid process in place so that people, not only your patients feel welcome when they first contact, but then, you know, when they leave, they also feel satisfied. So that's the whole process, I think, is very important, especially for the patients who I know, unfortunately, that's how it is in the US these days, but, you know, the people who are on, for example, in California, who are on Medicaid, they don't have a lot of choices, right? Because many doctors don't see them. So they would go to whoever they can find. But the patients who have the ability to pay either cash or when they have good insurance, they are the ones who are the pickiest one. And if even the most charitable doctors need to have a good percentage of well-paying patient, right, in order to be able to subsidize those patients who cannot afford to pay. And so that's what we were talking about is absolutely even more important when you have patients who are more like when you're talking about aesthetic, right, where, you know, that's where they are either paying cash, and so they have a choice, and those are the ones who are doing all the research.
It's, you know, that's kind of one of the unique things is in order to, it's almost not saying quality of patients, but per se, you know, the cash paying patients are going to have more options. And so I think that kind of emphasizes the point that you're making of, you know, ongoing patient satisfaction is so important. Kind of moving into another question about the healthcare marketing side of things, like how does or how can healthcare content marketing really help in capturing search traffic or differentiating a healthcare company?
Sure. So the one of the major, I would say, component of Google's ranking, right, is the on-site page content. Now, you know, there are a lot of other things. You know, just adding a page content is not good enough. But Google would, you know, if you want to get Google ranking for different keywords, you need to have those pages, right? The content right there. And the more content, the merrier is right now, at least Google's approach. It has to be very original. and it has to be very, to the point. In other words, very relevant. Believe it or not, if you have content and people go there and just bounce quickly, that is almost like a negative sign for Google. So first thing, you want content for Google ranking. Again, like I was saying, you need to get found right before you can start to even think about capturing or acquiring that the prospective patient who is looking at your who is searching for your services. So it really helps with the Google ranking first, and then the other thing is that when that also gives you a chance to showcase your expertise to your prospective patient. So when someone comes in, and depending on the procedure, people, you now do a lot of research. So giving them most relevant information on the website itself, that also helps the patient understand, what you're doing, understand the situation, understand your approach to, addressing their, their needs. And that will always help you with acquisition, because that's the relevancy is important. But what is interesting is Google now looks at that relevancy of the content as the key indicator of ranking also. So which means that when people come to your page, suppose you have a page about Botox or a blog about Botox or several pages in the Botox section, and someone goes there and leaves in 2 seconds, that's a negative. If they stay there and they click on that page to, say, reach or fill up the form or something, what Google considers quote-unquote conversion, then that in Google's eyes means, this page is more relevant and you start to get, higher and higher ranking for that. So the content is very important for both, for patient to demonstrate that, number one, explain to them what it's all about and also your approach to treatment, treating that. And then, of course, if you have done a good job there, then it helps you with Google ranking.
That makes total sense. Like, it's all about the search intent. You don't want them to end up on a page and leave right away, because
yeah,
then
exactly.
In a roundabout way, that first impression is like, oh, this isn't what I was looking for. And whether it's conscious or not, they can interpret that to be, oh, this isn't what I was looking for. And so perhaps you get thrown into an association of, oh, I don't need to look into that potential treatment option or company in general.
Exactly. If you have a, for example, on if someone is looking for what are the options I have, for simple, like, I'm nearsighted, what are the options are? So the page about nearsightedness, and then there are treatment options. It could be right from glasses to LASIK surgery and all, having those different sections and all, the more people are engaged. So that's what I'm saying, engaging, content is very important. Once people are engaged and they are going to different area and they, contact you, that is considered a very good signal for Google to say, okay, this is the relevant one and the consumer want it. So Google is just trying to mimic people so that if you see something and reject, they will like to reject that content also. As much as they can. I mean, that's where they are going, and all this artificial intelligence and everything is going to do it more so. So yes, the content and the how engaging your content is going to be really a critical piece of your marketing.
Yeah, and I think that kind of helps answer the next question that I had, where around the benefits of content marketing. It sounds like if you have engaging content and, customers are reading, or patients, prospective patients are reading the content that you have, and it's engaging, and you demonstrate your expertise and your approach to treatment, it can really go a long way into reducing patient anxiety, and eventually that'll convert into generating a lead for the business by the sounds of it.
Exactly. I mean, I couldn't have said it better. So you are 100% correct there.
I guess from that standpoint, what do you think differentiates healthcare content marketing when it's in a business-to-business context or a business-to-consumer context?
So business to business, so either case, the it is the when you are looking at the your target customer, right, whether it's business or a consumer, they are focused on what's in it for me, right? So the business is obviously when you're targeting business, either you're selling your service or you're looking for partnership, it's like how does that the business benefit? So most of it is going to be monetary, right? So when you are targeting businesses, it's much more rational. Let me put it this way. You make decisions, very rational decision where it's almost like a formula, and you say, okay, this is what I'm spending, this is what I'm getting, it's worth it for me or not. That's the business to business marketing where you talk about your benefit, how they are going to benefit, right? Financially, either by simplifying their operations or increasing sales or whatever. When you are doing a business to consumer marketing, then consumers are not rational. I guess it's not a surprise to you. People are not rational, so there the emotion makes a big difference. So it's like I have always said that it's not the need as much as the desire that you want to address. And so that's the when you're talking from business to consumer, it is really trying to see. So that's where number one, you'll have more clients also. So you want to have your own, I would say, philosophy very well defined, and then and lay it out there because you know that not everyone is going to be your customer. So you want the customers who are aligned to your philosophy, right? Whether it in terms of cosmetics and how you want to do that. I mean, there are people who would you go to chiropractors, they will say never ever medication, never ever surgery. Now it's not. It's a very small percent of the population are big believer in that, but they are large enough for the chiropractors to have a thriving business and be very successful. I'm not saying that it is a quackery or something. I go to chiropractor and I think that they have a very interesting role. There are certain things that I will go to chiropractor for, but their whole philosophy helps them also. You can say attract the customer that is going to be happy with their service, right? If something that you are doing is always black, like say black or white or red, whatever you are doing, if you are like, okay, I like the red color, and so all my program is going to be around that, you want the consumers to relate to that and come to you. So consumer marketing becomes, in an interesting way, segmentation becomes much more complicated, right, compared to segmentation of businesses, because there you know that I'm targeting this kind of business, this size, and who I'm targeting. When I'm targeting the business, is the CEO, is this the CXO, CMO? Consumer is, like I said, it's a lot of it is very emotional. And so you want to appeal to their emotion and their desires much more than just the core benefit.
Yeah, I mean, I've read Michael Masterson's Ready, Fire, Aim, and it's kind of interesting what you've spoken about. B2B, it is about solving their problems, but then as you go upstream of that, it's in a mostly monetary and rationalized point of
Yeah.
view, and then the B2C side of thing, it's perhaps less rational. And I think this kind of goes into the big problem that economics tries to solve is like, oh, all economic assumptions are based on we're rational beings and we act in a rational manner when, on the B2C side of things in the consumer market, it's perhaps not as rational. And, emotion does play a big role in how consumers decide what they want. And of course, that's kind of tying that back into Michael Masterson's book. It's, you want to sell to customers or, serve customers and patients that, want your services, not per se need your services, because there can be situations where somebody needs something, but they don't make the rational decision to go ahead and obtain what they need.
Exactly right. And so that's the reason the role of copywriting, advertising, the headlines, those things is much more critical. It's always critical, don't take me wrong. But because you want to invoke a very different kind of reaction from the ads to consumer versus when you're targeting the same thing to businesses.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. I mean, moving into kind of the actual like tactical application, what are some proven strategies that you have for optimizing a medical practice's marketing for attracting more patients and growing the healthcare business?
So you know what, there are a couple of things. So marketing, what we have found that marketing, frankly, the healthcare providers are, in the big scheme of things, is easier because it's all local, right? Most of, I would say, a very, very large percent of the, unless you are advertising or marketing some hospital that is trying to attract, patients from all over the world, which, by the way, we do some. But generally speaking, when you are local, it helps to, number one, it helps. It's relatively easier. It's like I've always said, digital marketing is a marathon that never ends, right? So, but having said that, you are only competing with 10, 15, 20, maybe 25, people. Right, that you are running the race and you need to be number one, number two, number three, kind of thing. So it is much easier to analyze what is the strengths and weaknesses. I'm talking now marketing wise. I'm talking web presence, right? In terms of their online reputation, and also you are in a much better situation to gauge your competition, to see what versus your own practice, and then you can identify your competitive advantage, right, and play on that. So that is the area where I always so I think that healthcare marketing, because you are targeting consumers, you can you will be surprised how much information you can glean out of just the reviews that's written over a period of time. Because you can now, there are tools that you can run through all these reviews of anyone, and you will know the drivers of satisfaction and dissatisfaction. So this is where the tactically the way you use it is you have to do a look at where you stand, right, in terms of patient satisfaction measurement. To an extent, patient satisfaction is reflected on the reviews. Although, unfortunately, most of the people, when they are not managing their review, in other words, they are not always, they don't have a process for generating review from everyone, then they seem to have a more of a reflection of people who are not happy rather than happy. And our experience is that at least 95% of patients are happy, if not more. But the 5% are the ones unhappy, seem to be more vocal online. But having said that, even if someone is not managing, you can get a good sense of what are the drivers of satisfaction and dissatisfaction for them, for you. Where do you stand, versus everyone else when it comes to obviously the web presence, right? You know, where are you ranked versus competition? What's your online reviews compared to competition? And then what you need to, of course, there are the areas that you'll have to address where there is a weakness, but then you have a chance to now play on your strength. Because, you know, to give you a simple example, suppose you have the best reviews, right? You know, you have 600-700 reviews or 7,000 reviews, 4.8%. So you lead with that in advertising. Now, someone who values that, the reviews, right, and you grab their attention, when they come and check, you know that when they will check your competitors, you know, they will be found lacking, right? So that's what I mean by you play with your strength. And because you are competing with handful of people there, you are able to strategize better. But you will need to have a very specific strategy based on where you are, your customer base, and your competition.
Yeah, that makes sense. In terms of, just speaking from personal experience, right? For the most part, if I go to a small business or some kind of business, I don't automatically think to leave a review if I've had a good experience. It's more so if I'm extremely dissatisfied that I'm like, okay, maybe I'll leave a review. But from that standpoint, it's like converting, you know, your satisfied patients and in obtaining those reviews sounds like it's incredibly important to, you know, because you can use those reviews. It creates that social proof. You can use the reviews to kind of generate a unique selling proposition or ID your competitive advantage. And then you can further take that and use it in any further advertising endeavors. So I think.
Yeah. And by the way, it's not just one thing. So suppose it just turns out that your competitors are better than you when it comes to reviews. You don't emphasize that. And all of a sudden, and suppose you have gone to Harvard and they have not, then I would say, you know, then you just emphasize the fact that, you know, Harvard trained, you know, ophthalmologist or optometrist. All of a sudden that would, you know, again, whoever that appeals to will find everyone else lacking. So understanding what is your unique strength versus your competition, and then also, obviously, it has to have a value, right? So if you're the tallest doctor in the city, that may not be enough for people to sit up and take notice, say, I want to go to him. So obviously, those strength needs to have, you know, mean something to your prospective patients. And then you play upon that while you are addressing, you know, the weaknesses. So that's why knowing your strengths and weaknesses versus your competition is very important. And then you obviously, when you while you address the weaknesses behind the scene, you want to play with the strength so that, again, you are trying to, if you know, suppose the medical school was important to people, it's again going to be only 5-10% of people, but for those who has value for that, you are it. So that's where you want to figure out what are the areas where you are it, and then you play upon that, and you will find that all of a sudden people who come to you, they will not find anyone else. So it's automatic. And you know, there are all, in marketing, I've always said is half science, half art, right? So a lot of things you can only try to figure out, you know, how your prospective patient will react. But that's the strategy wise, just start with those core presences, right, that we talked about. Patient satisfaction, which, by the way, you would start to gauge from the reviews if you read it, or like I said, there are tools you can use where you just download the reviews, run it through that, and you will know what the strengths and weaknesses, right? So you know the patient satisfaction. You look at the online presence, which is, again, analysis that can be done. And then you look at the, you know, reputation online. And so with that starting point, you will start to differentiate. You say, okay, you know, this is my strength compared to my competitors, and then you want to further distill into strength so that you can come up with a message that should resonate with your prospective patients. And once it resonates, if they get interested, you'll say, yeah, most welcome to find someone else who does better than us. So that's where you want to play with your strength. But again, please do not ignore your weaknesses. If you find out that, God, you know, your reviews need a lot of improvement, just go work on it behind the scenes while you are focused on, while you are getting the benefit of, you know, like patient satisfaction, right? Maybe the reviews, but it's 90% is positive or whatever. You know, you having to figure out your unique, something that no one else can claim, that is going to be your ticket to success.
Yeah, I really like the approach and the idea of, you know, leverage your strengths, and then while you're leveraging your strengths for, you know, continuing to bring in prospective patients, you also work behind the scenes to, you know, improve your weaknesses. You know, I've worked in clinical trials and medical devices, and that's just one of the core concepts that I always found so beneficial in that work is, you know, if you focus on, you know, continuing to improve experience and satisfaction, you're going to continue to head in an upward trajectory. And so I think that, you know, is very relatable.
Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, good. Anything else?
I think that's been kind of my main questions for our discussion today. It's been a great conversation in terms of identifying, you know, the marketing strategy and what to focus on and how to lean into that and identifying the weaknesses to work on those in the back end and the strengths to really use those to help grow patient satisfaction.
Perfect. Yeah, if you can just identify the areas for your marketing for acquisition, identify things that only you can claim and something that matters to them, but those things should also matter to the prospective clients, and that will start to, you know, you can start to leverage that to acquire more patients. And like I said, measuring, trying to figure out how you can improve patient satisfaction, how do you get more reviews, I mean, those things should be totally ongoing. So good, you know, good luck with your, this is like a, you said that you had, you are new at it, this particular position?
Yes, I'm a new partner in the business. So Complete Eye Care has been open for 25 years and kind of working to continue to grow that practice, and it's doing really well. And then really excited about the new opportunities with the Dimensions Dry Eye practice.
Perfect. So, you know, best wishes, you know, for success. And you are already, it seems like you are very strategic anyway. You understand the components of business. You have read, you know, Zero to, what was that title? I have read that book too.
Michael Masterson's Ready, Fire, Aim. I think that was...
Yeah. I was thinking about it. Yeah, I have read it twice, by the way, also. So, it's a good book to help you take a step back and strategize based on where you are. So, I love that how he breaks it down about just a startup, what you have to do when you are, you know, a million, what you have to do, and when you're 10 million, what you have to do kind of thing. So you can just pick up the right section and focus on that rather than depending on where you are. So yeah, it's a book. You are already, well versed in the strategy. So that's great. You know, hopefully this was helpful to you. And by the way, just because we if you have any specific question, if something pops up, feel free to send it to Duane, and Duane can always reach out and we can send you an answer back. So it's not,
awesome.
You know, suddenly if it popped up, it's like, okay, I forgot this. Don't worry about it. Just send it to us and we'll be happy to answer that. Okay.
All right, Seth, since we are wrapping up our podcast, do you have anything to say to the audience? Any promotion going on?
You can find me personally at acquiredsalary.com, and you can always find Complete Eye Care in Denver, Westminster area, as well as Dimensions Dry Eye Anesthetic.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Founders Corner podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate and follow us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and SoundCloud. If you are interested in being a guest, be sure to visit our main page at www.gmlwebteam.com/thefounderscorner.